We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Audacy put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Audacy. Visit ads.audacy.com.
Just that one time, and then moving forward, it was back to Philadelphia. But nah, man, the guys who deliver for you growing up, I don't care where they go on to play. If especially if it's outside of their control, like the team doesn't want them anymore, I'm still rooting for right. those cats. Those guys delivered me so many great moments in my life. I'm not going to turn my back on them. I was stunned. Just the idea of Bumgarner with the Dodgers got people so sad and worked up that you could never root for him again. Man, you just sell your own people out real quick like that, huh? The team doesn't even want him anymore, so he goes and signs elsewhere, and that's you're going to compartmentalize him like that. I hate that. I hate that. I can understand it. I just hate it.
Yeah, I can understand your hate of it, but I understand, having grown up here, just the very nature of that rivalry. And there's no other rivalry that comes close here in the Bay Area as far as the bitterness. You know, even if a player goes from the Niners to the Raiders, or goes from the Giants to the A's, or the Warriors to the Lakers, or even when a couple of the Niners went over and played for the Cowboys. The Cowboys were huge rivals, obviously, from the 70s and 80s all the way through the 90s. Nothing compares to that Giant Dodger. And when you saw Brian Wilson go down there and don the Dodger blue, there are many Giants fans still haven't been able to get over that.
Renegade in Long Beach. Renegade, appreciate the phone call. Welcome to the show. What's going on?
It's a pleasure being on the show. I was working on my rebranding. There's where the Renegade has been. But hey, listen, I enjoyed the show. Outside of the remark about Maury in China, hey, I got to salute Maury. He gave up money for human rights. Now, as far as dunkers, in spite of the fact LeBron James was 42-0 with 38 tens in high school, I got to go with Connie Hawkins. And I'm going to tell you a story about Connie when I was in Germany. I was a young kid over there visiting my uncle who's in the Army. There was a dunk contest. They put German yuan up on the currency at the time on top of, not yuan, but marks on top of the backboard. He jumped up with a $10 bill and did the exact exchange rate. But no, in all seriousness, you need to Google him. It's hard to find on YouTube. Connie Hawkins, in spite of the fact the NBA tried to ban him for life, one of the greatest dunkers and one of the best human beings of all time. Look it up and you'll enjoy. He was Beethoven. Whatever you want to call Dr. J, he was Beethoven to whatever Dr. J was. And Renegade, wow. Appreciate your time.
Not much I can say about that. I appreciate the enthusiasm. Played for the Pittsburgh Wrens from 61 to 63. The Globetrotters from 63 to 67. Pittsburgh Minnesota Pipers from 67 to 69. The Phoenix Suns from 69 to 73. The Lakers from 73 to 75. And the Hawks from 75 to 76. Do either of you two remember the legend that is Connie Hawkins?
No, only by name only, just because, you know, I was born in 68, so by the tail end of his career, and he was on the Lakers and some of that as an early, early kid, it was more whispers of Connie Hawkins and the Big O, Oscar Robertson, and other stars of days gone by.
What do you make of this? I was going to get into one half of this on the other side, but we might as well do it now. LeBron James and Maverick Carter, the news came out yesterday that they've raised $100 million for a new media company they're starting. It's called Spring Hill. Spring Hill, the company was formed on March 11th, but they had the big announcement yesterday. I know there's a quote from CNN around here somewhere, but the whole purpose of what they're trying to do, and I'm going to bring it up somewhere, is that they want to provide opportunities to individuals in a variety of media outlets who might not normally have gotten these opportunities. I'm not saying it's specifically for black media members or black creators, but that's what they're looking to do, to create a new lane, to create a new avenue for people who have been shut out before, for people who have, for some way, shape, or form, not been able to get their artwork out there. Lo, I know you were big on this. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, I think the reason why I was thinking, I thought it was kind of interesting just to watch LeBron James continue in his process of just growth, process of seeing, understanding opportunity needs to be there for, you know, mankind. Opportunity is never lost. We talk about giving to someone else. But then when you don't have that opportunity, here's LeBron saying, let's create, let's go get raise funds. You know how many movies and different things that people have, artists that want the opportunity to be seen or be funded, and they get the door slammed in their face. So he's trying to go out and say, look, I'm going to be that voice. I'm going to be that conduit that's going to go out here and do those things for give people the opportunity that needs it. Are they going to miss? Yes. Is it going to mean it's going to service everyone, Dibs? No, it won't. But at the same sense, at least there's something that needs to be created. And it's great that here's a guy that's taken initiative instead of waiting for others to do it. He's taken initiative. People can say what they want about the guy, but the guy is out there making plays, and he's making plays in a positive way.
And doing it in a space where you can really reach people in a unique and profound way. And you think about some of the great movies like Get Out made by Jordan Peele. It's an opportunity that he has that he wouldn't have had 10, 20 years ago based on the way the Hollywood machine has been. One of my favorite movies, Parasite, which won Best Picture, that movie doesn't get the same sort of widespread appeal had it not been for a changing culture in Hollywood. So for LeBron James and his partner, Maverick Carter, to be at the forefront of trying to provide these opportunities for voices that aren't heard, it's an underrated, subtle way to help bring about the change we all need.
James speaking to Bloomberg. This is via CNN. Quote, when we talk about storytelling, we want to be able to hit home. To hit a lot of homes where they feel like they can be a part of that story. And they feel like, oh, you know what? I can relate to that. It's very organic to our upbringing. End quote. I'm continuing on with the CNN story. The company has already signed a TV production deal with Walt Disney Corporation and is working with Netflix on a basketball-themed movie starring Adam Sandler, according to Bloomberg. James is serving as chairman and Carter is the CEO. Bloomberg reported that the board is comprised of, now get this, News Corp heir Elizabeth Murdoch, Guggenheim Partners Chief Investment Officer Scott Minard, Serena Williams, Apollo Global Management co-founder Mark Rowan, Live Nation Entertainment CEO Michael Rapino, Boston Red Sox Chairman Tom Werner, and LA investment banker Paul Wachter. Nice work. That's a nice team there of individuals who probably have a handful of connections if you need to get something done in the world of business. My God, what is that room like?
Whew. That's a lot of bread. That's a lot of cheese, Dibs. A lot of chicken, as we like to say on the show. And that's what you do. You go after people that have a sphere of influence. Go after people that know that they know people that have cash and have capital to invest and continue, you know, to grow this brand. When you got those type of people you put on boards, you want to make sure you put, you know, just like these actors, they put them on the boards that they adopt an animal, lion, tiger, whatever you're saying, but they all have to put $1 million in. So you want to make sure that you got guys with the sphere of influence on your board.
And also Serena Williams added in there to get obviously more athletic gravitas, the greatest female tennis player of all time. And she has a husband who's got a little bit of heft, financial heft. She's got a ton of money. Her husband does. Joe's mentioning all the names in that room. Can you imagine when LeBron gets done with his pitch and says, okay, everybody, if you guys wouldn't mind getting out your checkbooks and just, you know, write me a check for whatever you think is comfortable. And the first check comes in and it's $5 million. And someone writes one for $8 and the next one's $12. And the guy who writes it for $5 is like, hey, let me get that back. Now my check's $14. Next thing you know, he walks out of there with $100 million. And that's not to say he didn't put in his own money, Joe, but just can you imagine being in that room where he starts to pass the hat? And people are just, you know, throwing in wads of hundreds.
It's not just that. It's what these people bring to the table in terms of connections and power and resources. Right. Money. They've all got money. Money's like the least appealing of what these people bring to the table. But you have the heir to Rupert Murdoch's News Corp. His daughter is there. I mean, the reach she has in the ability to get out a message. The people she probably has in her Rolodex. Man, that's a lineup. Curly's wanted us to talk about this. All week, he's had this in the email, so I figure I'm going to bring it up. I think it's going to be a clean sweep, but maybe I'll be proven wrong. If any Major League Baseball records fall this year, do they stand? Are they legitimate?
Any Major League, I mean, if somebody hits 73 homers, yes. So, but other than, you know, if somebody hits 400 or has an ERA under one, no, none of those stand.
None of those stand low?
Yeah, you're absolutely right. If a guy hits a home run record on friggin' on 60 games 60. Without a
sure, that does can it stand?
Right. Yeah, does that stand? You're like, of course that would stand without a doubt. But like you're saying, you're hitting 400. You know, guys, you know, like that, things that usually over time, usually it can happen. It's usually not sustainable. I think that those records, you got to definitely put an asterisk, and you got to let people know it's doing a 60-game season.
Is there anyone banging the drum saying that the record should stand? Like, if a guy hits 430 this year, should that stand as the all-time mark? Like, have you heard anyone banging the drum for it?
No. And I think if you looked at what it would take to qualify in a normal season, is it, what, 3 at-bats, Joe, per game played for the team, or 3 plate appearances? So you're talking about 486 plate appearances. If somebody's able to get 486 plate appearances in 60 games, yes, then that'll go ahead and stand. But that would be about, I think, 8 at-bats a game. So that would be that'd be a pretty good offense if you got you 8 ABs a game.
Oh, Peer League softball.
Totally.
All right, so LeBron also spoke out on Colin Kaepernick. He had something interesting to say. We've also got an interview with Nick Friedell coming up. It's Joe Lowe and Dibs back with the championship rounds next here on 95.7 The Game.
What does Warriors GM Bob Myers think of Ray Ratto's legal ID?
It doesn't help to hear Ratto's despondency at the top of the hour. Ray, that doesn't help anybody.
Okay, well, which despondency are you complaining about? Is it just the ID?
Yeah, just 95.7. You know, a little bit of juice, fine.
You want to try a livelier read right now, Ray? You want to see what Bob thinks of a livelier read?
Sure, I'll do a livelier read. This is KGMZ and KGMZ-FM. And Bob Myers is a complete pain in the ass and scold. Happy now?
Listen to Damon, Ratto, and Kolsky weekdays from 2 to 6.
I'm a moron.
On 95.7, The Game.
Hey, everybody. Dan Dibley here for Golden State Lumber. With 8 locations around the Bay Area, you know those daytime temperatures range from the low 70s into the hundos this time of year. And if you're an architect or a designer, you know to maintain a consistent temperature in your homes, they need to have energy-efficient windows. And Golden State Lumber's window and door design showrooms have a great variety of innovative windows and doors that combine style with unbeatable performance. Brands such as Anderson, Euroline, Fleetwood, and Marvin. You can choose well-crafted vinyl, aluminum, steel, even attractive wood-framed windows. There are 6 window and door design showrooms all around the Bay Area, and their highly trained staff can help you choose the style and performance that fits your needs. We love going to the showrooms and looking at all the windows and doors for our ADU project that's underway. Find the nearest location on the Golden State Lumber app or at goldenstatelumber.com. For 3 generations, customers have relied on their outstanding customer service. Golden State Lumber. When you succeed, we succeed.
It's the Warriors Remix. Brought to you by Video Only.
In February of 2017, Draymond Green would make NBA history. The Warriors were taking on the Grizzlies in Memphis, and he scored just 4 points. But with 12 rebounds, 10 assists, and a franchise single-game record 10 steals, he became the first player in NBA history to record a triple-double with fewer than 10 points.
With it now, dribble drive is Green. Stolen away by Draymond. He got another one. Draymond's got the franchise record. He's got 10 steals.
After the game, Warriors head coach Steve Kerr marveled at Draymond's inspired performance, steps away from Memphis's legendary Beale Street.
That says it all right there. I mean, Draymond dominated that game. That's as dominant a performance as I've ever seen from somebody who scored 4 points. So, remarkable performance by Draymond.
With this Warriors Remix, I'm Lawrence Scott.
That was the Warriors Remix, brought to you by Video Only. Make sure you visit Video Only, because if you don't, you'll be sorry.
Come into Friedman's Appliance and see the full line of Fisher & Paykel's indoor and outdoor products. Experience them in person in live vignettes, including their famous dish drawer dishwasher and unique sizes of refrigeration to fit almost any spot. Fisher & Paykel products cater to everyone, whether it's midweek convenience or weekend gourmet, heat and eat or family feast. And for a limited time, enjoy special offers on qualifying combinations of Fisher & Paykel products. Visit Friedman's Appliance in Pleasant Hill or online at friedmansappliance.com.
It's back. It's bigger and it's better. The 4th of July Sellathon is back at your California Ford dealers. Get 0% financing for 72 months on most 2019 and 2020 Ford models. And it's better with unprecedented lease offers and deals across the entire Ford lineup of cars, trucks, and SUVs. We want your business. We understand all financial situations and we will get you a great deal during your California Ford dealers 4th of July Sellathon. Not available on 2019-2020 Super Duty, 2019 Mustang Shelby GT350, 2019 Mustang Bullitt, 2020 Mustang, 2020 Ranger, F-150 Raptor, or F-650-750. Not all buyers will qualify for Ford credit financing. 0% APR financing for 72 months at $1,389 per month per $1,000 finance, regardless of down payment. Program number 21142. Residency restrictions apply. Take new retail delivery from an authorized Ford dealer stocked by 7620. See dealer for qualifications and complete details. The 4th of July Sellathon is back at your California Ford dealer. Hurry, it all ends soon.
Are you a metalhead, reggae lover, EDM addict? Whatever your musical tastes, the Radio.com app now makes it even easier for you to find more of the music you love. Use the new Explore feature to discover new stations that match your interests. We're talking hundreds of pop, classic rock, hip-hop, jazz, alternative stations, and more. Radio.com has something for everyone. News junkies and sports fanatics, find your local stations and podcasts covering your local community and your favorite teams. Download the Radio.com app on the App Store or Google Play.
If you owe the IRS back taxes, listen carefully. Due to the sudden downturn of the U.S. economy, there's never been a better time to check your eligibility for the Fresh Start programs offered by the IRS to reduce or even eliminate your IRS tax problems. Call our special hotline number and find out in minutes if you qualify for these life-changing debt reduction programs green-lighted by the IRS for the summer of 2020. Business or personal, if you're in a payment plan with no end in sight, have unfiled tax returns, under audit, have a wage or bank levy, or finally, just want to know your options, call the experts at Republic Tax Relief and stop collections immediately. A-plus rated with the Better Business Bureau with a 5-star rating from Yelp, this veteran-owned company has the fight you need to take on the IRS. Don't go it alone. Call their hotline number now, 800-785-7188. That's 800-785-7188. Check your eligibility for tax debt savings today. Call 800-785-7188 or go to republictaxrelief.com.
Lazy Boy Furniture Gallery's 4th of July event can't be missed. Save up to 30% on a wide selection of great-looking furniture and take advantage of their 36-month interest-free financing. So hurry in. The 4th of July sale is going on now at your local Lazy Boy Furniture Gallery.
From Piedmont to Oakley to Rio Vista, this is KGMZ FM at HD1 San Francisco, 95.7 The Game.
We're gonna play on. Time to play ball. Drolo and Dibs, turn the game on.
All right, boys and girls, happy Friday and welcome to the championship rounds of Jolo and Dibs here on 95.7 The Game. Thank you, as always, for riding shotgun with us. It is greatly appreciated. Today's show is brought to you by Fremont Bank. Full service banking, no compromises. Chilton Auto Body text lines open for business at 888-957-9570. That's the same number as the phone number if you want to weigh in either way, shape, or form. Nick Friedel, who covers the Warriors and the NBA at large for ESPN, is going to join us in 30 minutes. We just found out from Adrian Wojnarowski of ESPN that of 302 NBA players who were tested for COVID-19, 16 came back positive. Is that a good thing? Is that a bad thing? We'll talk to Nick about that, the bubble, the restart, and what the Warriors might be thinking about number one overall if they get the number one overall selection in an NBA draft that's supposed to take place in October, for what I understand. So let's begin this hour right here. LeBron James was on Bloomberg yesterday, speaking about a variety of issues. And believe it or not, Colin Kaepernick came up. Take a listen.
LeBron, I do wonder, I think back to 2014 and Eric Garner and the T-shirt that you wore, and the NBA has consistently stood behind you and its players in terms of protest. Other leagues have not done that, most notably the NFL. Now the NFL has changed its tune. What do you make of that?
I do know one thing I can speak from is what I'm a part of. And I'm a part of a league with a great commissioner in Adam Silver, and he's always listened to the voice of his players. And I've always respected him for that. He's given us an opportunity to, when we feel something that's very wrong with society, that's very wrong with what's going on in our communities, that we could speak upon that and use the NBA's shield to back us. And I have nothing but respect for Adam Silver. As far as the NFL, I'm not in those locker rooms. I'm not with those guys, but I do understand that an apology, I have not heard a true official apology to Colin Kaepernick on what he was going through and what he was trying to tell the NFL and tell the world about why he was kneeling when he was doing that as a San Francisco 49er. So I just see that to be still be wrong. And now they are listening some, but I still think we have not heard that official apology to a man who basically sacrificed everything for the better of this world.
That's LeBron James on Bloomberg Thursday talking about whether or not the NFL owes Colin Kaepernick an apology. Lo, do you believe the NFL should issue an apology to Colin Kaepernick?
Yes, I do. And I think that not just LeBron, but if you look at Malcolm Jenkson now, the safety now went to Saints. He said the same thing. He was been interviewed several times and he's like, what does it mean? He goes, yeah, the NFL has millions of dollars that they can throw around at certain situations. But do they really mean it? Are they really stepping up and doing the things? And he said it all will be void if the apology is not issued, because you now understand what this was all about. So you should be willing to step in and say, hey, look, we got to wrong this right and pay that. I'm for paying the guy what he would have made. And then we move on.
Dibs, what are you thinking?
I think that it would be great if he took another step. I mean, Roger Goodell has already made some moves, and LeBron says as much that the league is starting to listen and it's starting to make good. And I'm not sure if the terms of the settlement between Kaepernick and the NFL prevent either side from additionally commenting, or if an apology would violate the settlement or whatnot. But it would be great for not only just the commissioner, but the league as a whole to make good on just the idea and the treatment. And Lowe mentioned Malcolm Jenkins, and there are other players who took a chance and kneeled, and some who were banished and some who were just blackballed from the league. It would be good if ownership and the league itself took that additional step to try to make it good, as well as giving Colin Kaepernick an opportunity, which it seems like he's going to get a chance to at least go into a camp and try out. Obviously, we're a month away from that actually happening or a team actually sticking its neck out, but it feels like that's closer to actually happening.
Michael Silver had comments on that. We'll get to those in just a minute. The idea of the league apologizing, it sounds nice. And if I'm LeBron, I'm saying that too. There's no way that is ever happening. So let me ask you, what's the apology for? Are we going to ask the league to admit to colluding? Because that's what it sounds like. What does the league owe Colin Kaepernick an apology for? I think the implication is for the fact that he was treated the manner in which he was treated, and that prevented him from playing in the NFL. That, in and of itself, is an admission of collusion, that he wasn't playing in the NFL. The league is sorry for what they did to Colin, for keeping him out of the league. Do you know how much trouble they would get in for that? Do you know how much trouble you get in for admitting to collusion? And, oh, by the way, any player who can't get a job is now going to file a lawsuit against the league saying they're colluding against him. And you're going to have to go to court. You have to put up documents. Well, this player actually stinks. That's why no one wants to sign him. Doesn't matter. People are going to file those lawsuits. These are nice statements. I don't disagree with James at all. It'd be great to see an apology if a wrong has happened. But those two sides came to an agreement, right? I don't think an apology is owed at all, because those two sides came to an agreement. They went through the court process. They went behind the scenes. We're talking about how we want justice in this country, right? We want justice. We want fair treatment. I understand that when he took that stand, he got a raw deal, that a lot of people came down his lane, that the message got mixed, that people tried to make it about the military and the flag rather than Black Lives Matter. I was in support of what he was doing then. I'm in support of what he's doing now. But he did get justice. They all had justice. They went behind closed doors. They negotiated a settlement. They all signed their agreements. He got what he got. Do we not see that as justice?
I don't. And here's the difference, I think, Joe, that you have to realize is when you're looking at that and you look at the system, we're talking about a system of over years. It's like when you see a person, they go to jail and they plea bargain and you say, okay, this plea's no content or whatever may happen. Is it justice? How many people that have just said, I'm going to take a plea because of the fact this is what I need to do in order to move on? And does it make it justice or does it make it to just have to settle? And I think those are some of the things that you have to look at during this whole process is say, okay, I understand it looked at Colin Kaepernick because, you know, behind closed doors, the league can't admit because they blackballed him. They can't admit it was collusion, which we know it was collusion, but they didn't want to admit that because it, how would it look? We get that. But if we're going to get true justice, then you have to admit the wrong.
And but those are the things true justice in this situation?
Well, here's a guy that because he kneeled Coca-Cola, national people backed out, national put pressure, the league got pressure, undue or just pressure, wherever you want to look at it, the pressure they received, they forced him out. Teams didn't want to bring him in, too much of a distraction. It was said, here's the thing you can know is collusion, because you heard teams say, we were thinking about bringing him, but it would be too much pressure. We don't understand what's going on. So I think when you look at it in that sense, in that vein, you can go back now and say, well, where are we at now? Has that not justified the means? So I think that you do have to look at it and say, hey, we wrongfully, you heard the commissioner say everything but his name. So to say, look, we wrongfully did Colin wrong. This is something that we acknowledge now and we're moving on. I think those are some of the things that people, I think, especially people that are in the league and guys that are playing, I think that's what they want to hear.
But how are you going to get that without an admission of collusion?
Yeah, I don't know if you think that's the only way you get it. If they say collusion, that's what you're saying legally. That's
well, here's what I'm saying, and this is what I'm trying to figure out. Again, I don't disagree with James.
No,
it would be wonderful if there was an apology issued for what had happened. But what we have to ask ourselves: what's the apology for? So when we say we want the league to apologize to Colin Kaepernick, what would they be apologizing for?
Dibs, go ahead.
I think that they could apologize for not being more supportive of what was a nonviolent protest and what was, at the time, an appropriate way to speak out against something that needed to be spoken out against. And I know that the commissioner has gone partway to saying that very thing, but I think you can apologize to Colin Kaepernick. And you can try to make good on the way you treated him without addressing. And you're not going to take questions from a room full of reporters. It's just a statement. I don't even know if you have to make it verbal. It could be an issued statement. But you don't have to get into what happened after the fact, which you've already adjudicated with a settlement. And to your point, Joe, about true justice, both sides settled. Both sides signed the agreement to put this in the past. And that is a part of our judicial system. That's part of the way we mete out justice in this country. But I think that the two issues could be separated and the commissioner could apologize for not being more supportive as a league for the nonviolent protest.
Okay, so let's follow that up then. League comes out, Goodell issues a formal apology to Colin Kaepernick. We didn't do enough to support you during your protest. For that, we apologize. Now, obviously, it could be more detailed than that, more words, but the crux of the matter is that they would apologize to Colin for not supporting the protest. When that's done, what's the likelihood someone stands up, maybe this time it's LeBron again, maybe it's someone else, and they say, that's great, Roger, but now we want an apology for keeping him out of the league? Because is that one apology that you're suggesting, is that going to be enough, or are we now moving on to the next thing we want in the series of events? Because I don't think the apologies for not supporting, I don't think that's what James is talking about. I think that people want him to get an apology because the league kept him out, because he lost his ability to play football. And that would come with an admission of collusion. So if you get an apology because they didn't support your movement, I can understand that. I don't think that is what anyone's talking about, though. I think the problem is that right after Goodell does that, then here we come again. Next person up. That's great, Roger. Thanks. But now we want an apology for keeping him out. So where does it end? Right? Do we actually ever get a resolution to this? Not to say James is wrong for suggesting it, just trying to figure out how we actually get something like this done, if it's even possible.
I mean, what would resolution be as far as, you know, making people satisfied? Because you can't go back and give the guy his career again. And as far as financial compensation goes, that's already been settled between the two parties, so you're not going to reopen the settlement from 2 years ago, which was purported to be around $10 million or a little less from who knows exactly what the amount was. But you're not going to then go back and say, here's an extra $50 million because we feel like we owe you. So at some point, Joe, you're right. You're not going to be able to satisfy both parties, because even if he goes back and says, you know what, even though it's admitting collusion, we're sorry we kept you out. People, it's not going to end there. Then it's going to be, now you got to make good and all the restitutions. Now you got to pay. And so it there's no end to that as far as the apology game goes.
Restitution, when we say there's no end to it, I don't know if there's no end to it. I don't know if there ever will be a true end to true justice. And justice is, you know, I guess could be in the said to be in the eyes of the beholder. But you look at Colin Kaepernick, if you look at the 4 years, this averaged $18 million, what he'd been making. I think this is something that, hey, the league should feel that responsibility to say, we're just going to do what's right. Apologize to Colin and say, we're going to make this right. I think that here's a guy that sacrificed, you know, his career, sacrificed a lot of different things, and now we see it come full circle. I was talking with some individuals, and they just talked about, you know, they work in the county office of education, just talking about just different parts of, you know, kind of getting educating myself just about racism, different things. And it was some very, very astute points that was made. And it's like, if you look at Italians, do you say Italians if they had something, or you say Hispanic, Native American, Indian? Name me a race that you don't say black and white. Only here. That was created. So you don't say, think about Mexicans, think about whether Italians, you never say, oh, brown. You never say, think about all the things that were done unjust to different races, but only black. It was why was this set up? It was a setup for superiority. So if you go back to just the prime root of these things, so when you're talking about justice and finding out and digging, think about it. It's black, it's white. You don't say, oh, the browns. You don't say, oh, the Jewish people, oh, the dark browns. You don't say, even Africans. Think about people that come over from, Haitian, whatever they may come over to America, they are still called by their name. Think about how this country was set up. That's the thing about it. Until we're talking about true justice and fixing things, things have to, you know, you have to start understanding the mindset of how it all formed. And if we can start working on our cultures to find out those differences, that's how we start reckoning this. This is how we start changing behavior. This is how we start changing the minds and hearts of individuals to say, wow, think about these facts that you can't find it. You can't find it.
Help me with that a little bit, because I'm ignorant to this. I remember, didn't we used to use the term African American?
I think they still do.
Are you suggesting that that's a better way to go about it? Because it sounds like it's a difference of saying someone's culture, like an Italian is someone from Italy, right? You don't just mention the shade of their skin color. You say an Italian, a Parisian, whatever it may be, versus you're saying black people being referred to as black. Wasn't there a shift a few years ago where the right way to phrase it was black person rather than African American, or am I wrong? Because again, I'm coming from a place of ignorance. I don't know.
Yeah, I think just the overall subject matter is just like, if you look at just history and where it's been blacks, and whether, you know, think about whether French or whoever came over, they all came from somewhere. You know, so, but they were never been called, oh, the browns, oh, the yellows, whatever. And, you know, we seen that in the even Native Americans. So it's just been, so I'm just saying that these are some of the devices that were just put in many, many years ago, that talking about justice and these different things. We got to change the way we kind of view people just in general, to start trying to change and get to understand it better. So this whole thing was, you know, simmering around kind of the justice. I'm just trying to go back and understand why certain individuals feel, hey, look, this hasn't been justice. This hasn't been a certain way for so long. And this has been ingrained, not just in certain individuals, but for generations.
What do you think would work as a better way, a better reference point? Is there a better reference point in terms of how you would refer to a black person? Like if someone from Italy is an Italian and we use the nationality to describe people other than black people, because you're right, it's black people versus Italians versus Norwegians versus the Polish versus the Russians. the Australians versus New Zealanders. What would be the better way to go about that? Do you have a suggestion? Do you know one? Again, coming from a place of ignorance, I'm pure curiosity.
I think it's a great question, and you know, I hadn't thought that far out. I thought that the biggest thing that I was taking away from this, Dan and Joe, is it's about how when they were brought over, when Africans were brought over, they were stripped of their heritage. They were stripped of everything. It was here, we're going to name you the N. We're going to call you Black. It was stripped. So you have generations of this been stripped of everything. So when we're trying to get to the root of things, you have to realize this is some of the things that's been stripped and hasn't been taught and all those different things. So if we can at least acknowledge these things and start the education process, I think we can really start to find out how do we justify and how do we seek true justice. But yeah, maybe it goes back to just, hey, look, this is, they're Africans, whatever. I don't know the correct answer, because I think that's a great question, what you're saying, Joe, to try to figure out, hey, well, what is it? How do we move past these points? Totally understand. I'm just saying there's a past and there's history that, you know, makes these things kind of so dark that we haven't really, you know, dealt with the core issues yet.
And the present is our past, unfortunately, in so many ways and so many cases. You know, you look at so many incidents that are continuing to happen. And so what you're saying, Lo, and I appreciate it, because I'm right there with Joe as far as not really knowing, you know, having the ignorance and trying to understand and listen and figure out what's the best course forward. But you think about all the things you were laying out, and yet here we are in 2020 and the same problems still exist, even though as a country we're becoming, you know, more and more diverse by the day, we still are latched on to some of these major problems that we've had for centuries.
Michael Silver of the NFL Network on Wednesday was talking about Colin Kaepernick and his potential future with the NFL. Take a listen.
There is some legitimate interest from at least a couple of teams in Colin Kaepernick, and Ian correctly identified, you know, how tricky the landscape is because ownership has to sign on. But, you know, I have talked to one head coach who is absolutely interested. And so now you have another complicating factor, and that is Colin Kaepernick, who has not played since 2016, finds himself in the same situation that Cam Newton and Jadeveon Clowney do, which is a team that would be ready to sign him would want to work him out. Yes, he did that workout, that weird workout last season that ended up being his workout and not the league's in Atlanta. And yes, there's video of that. But just from a football perspective, forget about the other overtones and the political landscape. Just from a football perspective, I think most head coaches and offensive coordinators and teams would want to get that comfort zone of putting Kaepernick through their own workout. And that cannot happen, my understanding is, as per league rules right now. And so I think there could be a chance that something happens when teams are able to get that part of it done. But we're still looking at a holding pattern probably creeping up toward the start of training camp.
If he gets an opportunity, Kaepernick, that is, and that's the report from Michael Silver Wednesday on the NFL Network. If he gets an opportunity and he gets on the field and he plays poorly, does that hurt the movement or what he's trying to accomplish in any way? Like, if he were to actually get a chance, but he didn't play well, he just becomes a below average quarterback who really struggles to read opposing defenses and move the ball down the field. Not saying that would happen, just saying if it does that hurt his cause? Does that hurt his movement in any way?
I don't think so. But myself personally, I don't think that Colin Kaepernick, you know, I don't know if he can play. I'm with the majority of the league. I think you're talking about 4 years of a guy's career when he was a kind of a mobile quarterback in the first place. Yes, he could throw and do those things, but you're talking 4 years of a guy's career. I don't think that Colin right now is a starter in this league. I mean, he might believe so, but you're talking 4 years. So I don't think it necessarily hurts the cause at all. I'm just going to show that this is something that has a wrong that has been righted by just giving him the opportunity. That's why I'm for saying, hey, pay the guy what he would have averaged those 4 years. And if you want to let the guy go out, let him go out. But at the same sense, I don't think any team has the obligation, the moral obligation right now, Dibs, to bring him in. I think right now you're just pandering, because I think 4 years of this guy's career is gone, four of his better years. So I don't know if a team, say, if they don't bring him in, I don't think right now it's collusion.
I don't think it's pandering if you give him a chance. Now, if he clearly shows through two or three preseason games that he's not the quarterback that he even was, and like Joe was saying, he's struggling, and yet you keep him anyway to try to have him as a PR piece, then that would be pandering. If you give him a shot and he goes out and he fails and he gets cut before week one of the regular season, I think it actually helps the cause because it will shine a light on some of the cockroaches in America who will then come out with the I told you so narratives and they never should have let him back. And that would just shine a brighter light on some of the racist individuals we have in this country. So I think actually, Joe, it could in a crazy way help the cause by exposing more of these people that need to be exposed.
302 NBA players were tested for COVID-19. 16 came back positive, according to Adrian Wojnarowski of ESPN. Is that a good thing or a bad thing? Nick Friedel, NBA reporter for ESPN, is going to join us next here on 95.7 The Game.
It's the Warriors Remix, brought to you by Fremont Bank.
In February of 2017, Draymond Green would make NBA history. The Warriors were taking on the Grizzlies in Memphis, and he scored just 4 points. But with 12 rebounds, 10 assists, and a franchise single-game record 10 steals, he became the first player in NBA history to record a triple-double with fewer than 10 points.
With it now, dribble drive is Green, stolen away by Draymond. He got another one. Draymond's got the franchise record. He's got 10 steals.
After the game, Warriors head coach Steve Kerr marveled at Draymond's inspired performance, steps away from Memphis's legendary Beale Street.
That says it all right there. I mean, Draymond dominated that game. That's as dominant a performance as I've ever seen from somebody who scored 4 points. So, remarkable performance by Draymond.
With this Warriors Remix, I'm Lawrence Scott.
That was the Warriors Remix, brought to you by Fremont Bank on 95.7 The Game.
Did you know that treatment for ED has advanced beyond the little blue pill? The newest treatment for men seeking optimal performance is finally available in the Bay Area from the doctors at ARC Men's Health. Acoustic Wave Energy by Gainswave is the revolutionary medical procedure that treats the real cause of ED. Now you can get off Viagra and be spontaneous again naturally. Treatments are non-invasive, pain-free, and surgery-free. A quick procedure breaks down plaque and blockages, restoring blood flow and reversing ED. If you've got ED or Peyronie's disease, regardless of your age or medical history, call ARC Men's Health to schedule your consultation. ARC is PPE compliant and taking all precautions to keep patients safe. HSA cards are accepted. For information, call ARC Men's Health at 650-407-1168. That's 650-407-1168. Online at arcmenshealth.com. Call now, 650-407-1168.
The aroma of steak sizzling on outdoor grills is drifting across the land because steak is on sale at Lucky and Lucky California, leaving you to question not if steak, but how. Slathered in a rosemary garlic paste or maybe dipped in a tasty chimichurri. Right now, New York steaks bone-in are just $5.99 a pound in the Max Pack, and red or green seedless grapes are just $1.77 a pound. Lucky and Lucky California, the golden state of eating.
This is Irresistible, a comedy from writer-director Jon Stewart.
The next mayor of Deerlaken, Wisconsin, Jack Hastings.
Quiet the cows, please!
The New York Times Magazine, Vanity Fair, and Rolling Stone are all talking about Irresistible. It's Steve Carell versus Rose Byrne in the comedy event of the summer.
You're gonna lose, and then you're gonna look like a giant ass.
No worries. I'm in politics. I'm already dead inside.
Irresistible, written and directed by Jon Stewart. Rated R. Under 17, not admitted without parent. In theaters and on demand today.
Easy on the cows!
Fremont Bank is providing the Bay Area with much-needed support. We've helped preserve thousands of local jobs and put nearly $400 million back into the Bay Area economy by helping small businesses get loans through the Paycheck Protection Program. When you bank with us, your dollars go directly to loans and donations right here. If there's one thing the pandemic can't affect, it's our commitment to uplifting our communities. To learn more about our COVID-19 response, visit fremontbank.com/COVID-19.
The National Constitution Center serves as America's leading platform for constitutional education and debate. It is central to the center's mission to convene discussions about current constitutional issues facing our nation so that people of all ages and perspectives can learn about, debate, and celebrate the greatest vision of human freedom in history, the U.S. Constitution. For the center's live programs, constitutional news, podcasts, educational resources, and online interactive constitution, visit constitutioncenter.org.
Now back to Joe, Low, and Dibs.
D-P-O-Y.
On 95.7 The Game.
Welcome back. Finishing kick. Joe, Low, and Dibs here on 95.7 The Game. Nice guy. Do we have Nick on the line? Outstanding. Let's go to the phones. NBA reporter for ESPN, Nick Friedell, joining us here on 95.7 The Game. Nick, it's always a pleasure. Let's start with this. Adrian Wojnarowski, your colleague at ESPN, about an hour ago had a tweet that of 302 NBA players that were tested for coronavirus, 16 tested positive. 16 of 302. We're trying to figure out, is that a good thing or is that a bad thing?
I think it's just an expected thing, guys, because the NBA all along knew that if they were trying to pull this bubble off, that there were going to be positive tests. So I think that's right within kind of the number that they always figured. My biggest fear, both as a fan and as a journalist who covers the league, isn't so much the tests that were going to come before, because they were definitely going to come before everybody got to Orlando. My fear was what happens if and when a star gets the virus in Orlando, because I think that changes the dynamic and the public perception a little more, and obviously the balance of power within the end of the regular season and the playoffs. So for now, I think it's kind of business as usual. The league expected guys to test positive. They have. The issue is going to be when the bright lights are on and everybody's watching and trying to figure out exactly what's going on, if a star player suddenly has to sit for 2 weeks or more.
And is there anything in the schedule to mitigate this or any sort of personnel moves that the teams can make? I know they're going to have bigger rosters, but if something like this happens, let's say in the conference finals where you're heading into game three and a member of the Bucks, for example, is out, do they just have to proceed forward and that's just a bad break?
Yeah. Essentially, guys, I think it's like a player tweaking a hamstring at the wrong time or turning a knee the wrong way and you go, oh, he's probably going to miss a few weeks. I think that's the way that the league and certainly people within the league are looking at it, that this is now just the cost of trying to pull this off in the midst of a pandemic. So that really is the worst-case scenario. If Giannis or LeBron or Kawhi, you know, we could go down the list, but if a big name guy on a big name team that feels like it has a legit chance to win a title, if somebody tests positive during that stretch, then things are going to get very interesting and could be very tough for the league, because people are going to go, well, was it really worth trying to pull all of this off? But in the moment, I think you just proceed. You knew all along. You told the players when they were trying to figure out what was coming next. Guys will test positive. They have, and you just try to keep moving forward each day.
Do you see it always being where guys, you know, when they don't have the symptoms, but they're testing positive, do you see it any way that these guys play? Do you see there being any medical support that play with a mask if this happens, or you think, hey, if these guys got it, it's done, it's a done deal?
Well, I read that thing like four times, that manual, especially that part of the manual.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
it is very clear. If you test positive, you sit for a minimum of 2 weeks. And that's what I don't think enough fans understand in the moment, because again, it's one thing for some bench players to test positive, and certainly we've seen in this last wave over the last week, you've got guys like Malcolm Brogdon, Buddy Hield, you've got Jokic in Denver, you've got more name players, but there is a certain level of player that if they just kind of disappear from the team for, again, a minimum of 2 weeks, and it's probably going to be closer to three by the time they go through all the tests and the screenings that it will take to get back on the floor and get back into some kind of shape after sitting, then starting and stopping. When you stop like that, that's when I think there's going to be a real issue potentially in the bubble. But as far as, you know, I thought early on it was, well, you test positive and then you wait a few days, and if you test negative twice, you go back on the floor. But the NBA spelled it out very clearly. If you test positive and the second test comes back positive, at a minimum, you are out for 2 weeks. And then you have to go through a bunch of different screenings because, I mean, let's get real. The league doesn't want to get sued. If a guy does come back and is having issues in the moment. So it's all a new ground for everybody. I think everybody is trying to work through it as things happen. But if somebody tests positive, there's no other way around it. You are missing at least 14 days, and then you're hoping that you feel better very quickly.
ESPN's Nick Friedel joining us here on 95.7 The Game. So Trevor Ariza opted out. Avery Bradley opted out. Willie Cauley-Stein opted out. Are we, based on that phone call that happened with Kyrie Irving a few Fridays ago, there was some discussion about maybe a massive movement towards players sitting out the restart. How do we feel between now and late July? Do we feel as if we know who's out and who's in, and that anyone who's in is probably going forward? Or is there still some concern that a big wave of players could stand up and say, you know what, forget this, I'm out?
I still think there's a gray area, personally, because I think there's a long time between where we are now and the actual start of this. And even more, guys, I think my concern all along has been, we've all seen how that Vegas Summer League plays out over time, and guys don't want to be there for, you know, more than a week. My real concern is, even more than will guys opt in or will they opt out, or will they decide at the last minute, hey, I just don't want to be away from my family, or whatever the reason may be, I think there's still going to be a couple guys that just say, this is not for me. The issue is when you get down to the reality of where the league was at before the stoppage, there were only a handful of teams, as there usually are, that have a legit chance that felt like they did to go win a title. So what happens once the games do start in Orlando, and a lot of these guys are like, you know what, I don't want to be isolated like this. I want to be with my family. There are other things that I would rather be doing. I'm not as focused on playing every other day in games that I don't feel like matter in the grand scheme of things. So there are so many different layers to how this thing potentially could play out. But the issue to me is the focus it's going to take, not only the health luck that it would take in general, guys staying healthy, not testing positive, but the focus it will take to start in early July, at least get there and have some semblance of a training camp, and then go all the way through potentially mid-October. That is going to take a great physical and mental toll. And I am very curious to see how many players, after a couple weeks, after a month, just decide, you know what, I just do not want to be here that much longer, and I will do whatever it takes to kind of start to make my way home, because I don't feel like my team has a legitimate chance to win.
Nick, one of my favorite shows growing up was a show called The Love Boat. And on The Love Boat, we all know about Captain Steubing, but Julie McCoy, cruise director. Are any of these NBA teams thinking in terms of getting a Julie McCoy to offset this sort of quarantine boredom that NBA teams are going to face?
That's a good question, but I don't think there's enough stuff, guys, that they could do that they'd feel comfortable outside of that bubble in to have it be worth it, that to have the director come around and be like, okay, here's what we're doing today, and this is the issue. And it all of this stuff ties together, because when guys get there, and this started to happen a couple weeks ago, we all saw guys start to see what was in that manual, and you're like, wait, what? We have to do what? For how long? And we're not able to go different places and go see the different theme parks, you know, bounce around to the different clubs in the Orlando area. No. I mean, everybody is kind of stuck with where they're at. You play basketball, you go back to your hotel. And again, that is the issue. There's just not a lot of leeway, because I think that's the league's single biggest fear, is somebody gets it on a team, they test positive, and they spread it around, and then, you know, you've got half of a team that can't play, or you've got three or four guys on a different team that can't play. So they're trying as best they can to steer away from that possibility. But in order to do that, you can't allow guys to really do much of anything aside from stay on the campus and do what they can. So it's such a strange set of circumstances, but the reason that this has gotten to this point is because there's $1.2 billion on the line. That is the reason. It's all about the money. And if players are starting to waver and if they're starting to go crazy a little bit, sitting in their rooms and not being able to do much, that's the reminder that both the teams and the leagues have to tell everybody, we're here to get paid, and that's what you have to put at the front of your mind when you're having those moments where you're wondering, do I really want to be here or not?
No question. The professionalism that's going to have to be displayed is going to have to be off the Richter. You're absolutely right. And what's at stake? So do they understand what's at stake if it doesn't happen? So what if you feel pretty strong that guys are going to get bored at the end of this and just say, tap out, no more? If that happens, you see them shedding this down completely? Or do you think that, you know, far as just even if it's not necessarily the coronavirus, just the fact of guys are just, like you talked about, mentally fatigued?
I don't see them shutting it down unless there is an outbreak of the virus. I think they will do everything in their power. The league, the Players Association, they will do everything they can to finish out these games and to try as best they can to have as normal a playoff stretch and run and crown a champion as they possibly could. Because they all understand that if you don't play this year and you don't get the $1 billion plus that's on the line, trying to play next year, guys, and we've talked about it a little bit in the last couple months here. The issue to me when you talk to people around the league is the idea of trying to play this year is very difficult given the circumstances. Trying to play next year if you don't play this year and you have to tear up the CBA and you have to go through the process of getting a new agreement in place, knowing that there may not be fans next year, that is going to be almost more difficult than the situation that everybody's in now. So I think in the moment, the focus is let's get this done. Let's try as best we can to play at the same level of competition. But that part is going to be very intriguing to watch for fans because, guys, I think those first few games, there's going to be so much interest and there's going to be a celebration. All right, basketball's back. We've got something to watch. There's something entertaining going on. And then after those first few games, at least early before the playoffs start, our guys going to go, especially on like the Wizards and the Suns and the Spurs, all these teams that are at the end, I think that fans may go, all right, wake me up when the playoffs get here, just like they would in any other regular year. So that's going to be interesting, but there's at least in theory going to be a lot of games to watch every day for a while.
ESPN's Nick Friedell joining us here on 95.7 The Game. Nick, final question for you. For teams like the Warriors, who aren't even involved in this thing, but need to be focused on the upcoming lottery and then the NBA draft, how are they going about their prep process? The extra time is great, but can they meet with these guys? Can they work these guys out? Have they made any progress whatsoever?
I think for let's take the Warriors. I think it's going to be important for them to get guys back into the gym. And just in talking to people in the organization recently, I think what you'll see, guys, is the Stephs and the Draymonds, they'll take a little bit of a vacation as best they can now, and then you're going to see them start to come into the practice facility a little more and work on different stuff, and you'll see Clay in there more. So they're going to have a lot of individualized time, but Steve Kerr was open about this when we talked to him a little while ago. You've got all these other bad teams, like the Hawks and the Hornets, that are saying, "Oh, let's get together and play a little league maybe in a few months." The Warriors don't want any part of that. This is a team that went to five straight finals. They know what they have. They know they have to prepare for the draft and potentially getting other players involved via free agency or trade. They know that they have to get their stars ready to roll. And Kerr said, I'm going to keep pushing the league to try and get a mini camp or two, just like football, because we know who we have. We know the system we want to play, and we have to keep our focus on getting those guys healthy and ready. The issue is, and it's a big one, when you're off for this long, nobody knows what it's going to look like when everything gets up and running again. The one thing I'd say, though, is in talking to people throughout the league, everybody's kind of in universal agreement here. While this is good for the Warriors and you get everybody healthy, and Steph and Clay, and you get Wiggins into some kind of rhythm with these guys, there's this belief that the window is not going to stay open very long to try and win titles. Because if the Warriors come out and they're interesting and they're a 4 or 5 seed, guys, people are going to be interested. But when you've won at the level they have for so many years, getting to the second round, it just isn't the same thing. I still think they can win a title, but they better do it early on when these guys are still closer to 30, that core. Because once you get a little older, we all know in pro sports, that window shuts a lot quicker than everybody usually thinks.
NBA reporter for ESPN, always a terrific appearance. Nick Friedell with us here on 95.7 The Game. Thanks, Nick. Have a great weekend.
All right, you got it, guys. Appreciate you having me on.
So much up in the air. Oh, by the way, Florida yesterday, 9,000 new cases, single day record. So there's that. Which Stuart Mandel, who's here in the Bay Area covering college football, had a tweet. Why is this the state every sport is looking at for their restart? Because they said, hey, we're open for business. Well, yeah, they're open. And there's also a fallout from said opening, which we're starting to see now. Each and every day until
right. We
somehow, some way. I can ask you to give the We Will Win speech. I'm not so sure anymore. I think the best we can do is maybe wrestle this thing to a push. And I don't even see that happening.
We're playing for the draw, basically, Coach, is what you're telling me.
Like, let's try to go on an 8-0 run here at the end to get inside the 14-point spread, just so we can say we covered and that it doesn't look as bad 10 years down the road when you stare at the box score. Oh,
for
man.
Real. For real, though. It's this thing. We're all hoping, and we're expecting a miracle, guys. I mean, you think about what's going on, and I know, Dibs, you were on this earlier. It's really up in the air. I mean, when you think about, you got 13, 14, whatever, 16 guys, test, and now you're going to have everyone there. People are going to be around these guys. I know it's going to try to be tight security, but then like Nick's saying, guys are going to get mentally fatigued. A lot of guys are going to be like, do I want to be here? Are they going to heed to the message? Are they going to not leave and break curfew, break the bubble rather, and get outside the bubble? Are they going to be tempted to do those things? Absolutely. But then you got to think, okay, but are they understand what's at stake? And that's the biggest thing. And that's where I think that a team like Lakers, but not just a team like Lakers, but the team that guys would have leadership now, they are going to have to really band together. I understand it's about winning a title. I understand it's about raising, picking up and winning, getting the trophy and being able to host that up. But at the same sense, it's going to be about guys holding each other accountable. It's going to be about not just a Laker team, not just a Sixer team, not just, Toronto and Milwaukee. It's everyone. These guys, Dibs, are going to have to, more than ever, they are going to have to hold each other accountable and say, guys, if we do this, do you know the millions and the opportunity that we're going to be giving up for selfish reasons? That's got to be the message universally, Dibs.
And that's why I was asking Nick about Julie McCoy, cruise director, because if I was an owner of a team, I would absolutely have somebody on staff coordinating activities in between your regular team activities. That way, these guys don't have as much temptation to go out and break quarantine or do things that they're not supposed to be doing. If you're creating team activities, whether it's video game tournaments or card tournaments or golf outings or trips to the amusement park, whatever it is, you want to try to schedule these guys and treat this like it's an AAU team almost. That way, there's less time for guys to be sitting around thinking, man, I'm bored. I want to go do X outside the bubble.
Nice guy. Right. Do you have a wheel of fun you could spin for us?
Fantastic Friday with Joe Lowe and Dibs to get you into the weekend. Oof. Which person is worse? The person who calls you, even though that phone call could have easily been a text, or the person who sends a group of tiny text messages in a row, even though that could have just sent that in one text message. Do you guys get what I'm saying there with that question?
Yes.
Yeah, Dibs, where are you at on this one?
It's tough because, you know, you get your thing and you look at your phone. It's like, I got 7 text messages and it's 11 words from the same individual. That is severely annoying, but not as annoying as the person who calls you with, hey, what time are you going to be home? You know, or what time are you going to meet me here for whatever? 8 o'clock. All right, I'll see you there. That could have been a text. So the call instead of text person, slightly more annoying than the 7 texts for 10 words person.
Whoa, what about you?
You know what? Give it to me right away. Don't, because I'm not going to look at it. I might open your text to the next day. So if you're going to give me one, just give me one right to the point. Give me one. Don't give me a bunch in a row. I'm not going to hold. You're not going to hold my attention. You're not going to do it.
So you just do not like the one who texts multiple texts in a row.
Right. Right. Absolutely.
Joe, what about you?
The worst of the two is the text person. The phone call is easy. You just ignore the phone call. Right? You know, like Damon Bruce is a phone call person. He doesn't want to text. So he calls. And you know what I do? I ignore the call. And now we're at a stalemate because you were calling me. You needed something. You wanted to talk about something, not the other way around. So now you got to play by my terms. And you can go ahead and you can leave a voicemail. And I don't even have to listen to that thing. I can go ahead and just bring it up in the voicemail section and I can see it already transcribed for me. So I can read it and see if it's important or not. But that's not an inconvenience. The inconvenience is the person who sends what should be one text in 7 parts because they keep going. You don't know when they're going to end. And if you're trying to respond in real time, you might respond 4 texts in and then they send 3 more and there's an ancillary conversation that breaks out as a result of this. And I know you've all done this before. I've been in a conversation with one human being where we're having 2 separate conversations on the same text thread. Like one, like we're going back and forth on what time we're going to meet. And then we're going back and forth on what we thought about what happened in the game last night. And because that person is sending so many texts in a row, you can't, if you don't wait till the end, you could end up in 2-3 conversations with the same person. It's ridiculous. That person's an idiot. Like, sit down, string it all together, send it, and then you will get a response. Unbelievable.
See, I'm going to take the call on this one because I'm that idiot that sends the multiple text messages, and I'm kind of proud of it because as I'm rolling, I'll send one text and I'll be like, oh man, I could have thrown a joke in there. So I'll send another joke, give an LOL, get a ha-ha, and then make it all confusing. But the one who calls me, and then it's just one question. I'm like, I didn't need to answer that call. So I'm on the call side. I'm with Dibs on this one.
Just ignore it. Just ignore the call. Then they'll be forced to text you. They want something from you, so they play by your rules.
It's true, but then, like, if I don't answer it and they don't text me back, then I'll be like, well, maybe they called for something special or something important.
Important if they called me. That's how I figured, too, Steve.
All right, show's over. Bonte, Steiny, and Guru are coming up next. Have a great weekend, everybody. We'll catch you Monday morning at 6 a.m. right here on 95.7 The Game.
The newest inductee into the 49ers Hall of Fame, Bryant Young, joined Bonte, Steiny, and Guru.
You need to know how great of a job he's doing because people need to hear lively voices, during these times. And you guys give light. You bring different perspectives, and it's good to kind of take your mind off of things. But keep going, man. You guys got good flow and good chemistry. I love it.
Hear the biggest names on the Bay Area's number one sports station, 95.7 The Game.
Hey, so are you the type of guy that wants to look put together, but doesn't want to spend hours at the mall finding new clothes? So you can look great at the office, on the road, or even just on the weekend with friends and family? I hear you. This is why there's Stitch Fix, your personal styling service that delivers hand-picked clothes right to you. Stitch Fix is simple. Sign up in just a few minutes. Tell them about the brands that work for you, and even let them know what types of styles you prefer. Stitch Fix is convenient. You get great clothes delivered right to you, so you can try new styles on in the comfort of your own home and make a decision without any pressure. And Stitch Fix is on your terms and priced to match your budget. There's no subscription required ever. Keep what you want and send back anything you don't. So, isn't it time you got it all together? Get started today at StitchFix.com. Stitch Fix, personal styling for men, women, and kids. Stitch Fix, personal styling for everybody.
You've been camping in your backyard, cycling in your living room. You've been enjoying rain showers in your bathroom. Campfires on your TV screen. You've been counting stars and birds from your window. And holding family cookouts in the kitchen. Now, get ready to go. Go on a real vacation. Take the wheel at your nearest RV dealer or at GoRV.com.
It all starts with just one thing. Make your pet more green. Buy organic pet food, seek out kitty litter made with natural materials, and clean up after your pet using certified green products. Find tips and more at OneThingUS.com. What's your one thing?
Businesses are starting to bounce back. But what if you could do better than that? What if you could adapt, deliver, and succeed in new ways with new customers? At Comcast Business, we want to help you not just bounce back, but bounce forward. And now, with one of our best offers ever, we're committed to helping you do just that. Get a powerful and reliable solution with internet, voice, and security edge for only $29.95 a month for 3 months with a 2-year agreement. It'll help you stay ahead with a network you can count on. Stay connected with 24/7 support and thrive with flexible solutions that work wherever you are. Call 1-800-501-6000 or go online today to find out more. Comcast Business. Offer ends 7/5/2020. Restrictions apply. Limited to new Comcast Business 100 megabits internet, one voice mobility line, and security edge customers. Early termination fee applies. Equipment, installation taxes, and fees extra. Subject to change.
In times like these, it's comforting to know that some things never change.
1-877 cars for kids.
Do you have a car you're looking to get rid of? Whether it's a few years old or downright ancient, Cars for Kids will take your car in any condition. They have over 100 towers ready to pick up your car fast. That's why hundreds of thousands of people ditched selling their cars and donated instead. Try it yourself. Go to carsforkids.com and schedule a contact-free pickup. When you donate to Cars for Kids, you're not stuck haggling with potential buyers and wondering if you got a good deal. They offer you the most convenient way to get rid of your car and get a full tax deduction. No shady buyers, no lowball offers, and no pressure. With Cars for Kids, you get professional service, a fast pickup, and good deed. Donate today at carsforkids.com. Remember, that's cars with a K. You'll get the donation experience you deserve, and you don't even have to be at your car when it's picked up. Try it now at carsforkids.com.
Fremont Bank. If there's one thing we understand more than anybody, it's that it takes a local bank to really get the needs of local businesses. And more than anything, local businesses need access. Access to a knowledgeable banker and access to a full suite of business services. Can't come to the bank? We'll come to you. Our devotion to our clients ensures your business never misses a beat. That's why Fremont Bank remains the right choice for local and family-owned businesses. Learn more at FremontBank.com. Member FDIC.
The National First Responders Fund and Super Duper Burgers feed first responders for free on the third Wednesday of each month. For more information on Super Duper locations or to donate to help feed first responders, go to nfrf.org/superduper.
Augers, trenchers, blades, brooms, shredders, mulchers, hammers, compactors, planers, rollers, rakes. That's just a sample of the more than 100 attachments John Deere offers for skid steer and compact track loaders. The added versatility provided will help you win more jobs. And with the universal self-cleaning quick-tach system, you can switch from one type of attachment to another in no time flat. Your John Deere dealer can help you choose the right attachments to help you run your world. Visit johndeere.com/compact attachments to learn more.
Hey, it's the Moose, Mark Melusis, talking a little bit about AutoZone. Why? Because I love them. They've got more ways for you to get what you need when you need it. Why do I love them? They help me out. My wife needed a new battery. Car would not start one morning. Hopped online, ordered it, AutoZone.com. Same day pickup, picked it up curbside, put the battery back in the car. My wife's now driving all across Stamford, Connecticut. And listen, they don't just have batteries. They have over 100,000 parts available for you to order online. That's what makes them great as well. They'll take care of you like they took care of me. AutoZone.com. Start your job fast. Get in the zone. AutoZone.
Joe Lo and Dibs are hungry for sports to come back.
People are clamoring for sports. We're all very hungry as we continue this ferocious analogy.
Very true.
We are hungry, so we are going to eat. You could put whatever you want in there, and people are going to watch it. So why not produce something of some actual quality and some actual intrigue? Because people are going to watch. People are going to eat. Why are you going to give me wilted lettuce and soggy croutons? Give me something decent that we can all enjoy.
Listen to Joe, Lo, and Dibs anytime, anywhere with the Radio.com app. From Piedmont to Oakley to Rio Vista. This is KGMC FM at HD1 San Francisco, 95.7 The Game. It's time for Bonte.
Let's just put the rat on the table, cool.
Steiny.
The thought, I die alone, I laugh the loudest to the...
Yeah!
And Guru.
Hell yeah! So I go, who paid for me? She goes, sir, it's free when you're over 44.
On 95.7, The Game.
Can't believe it's already Friday, fellas. This week has flown by. Yesterday was Steph Curry Appreciation Day. We thank everybody for helping out with that. Producer Kyle, great job with that one. Let's move forward here as we talk some baseball. We got NFL stuff. We got Jerry Jones and his silence. We got all that stuff coming up here on BSNG on a Friday, I guess morning and afternoon, fellas. But, you know, I'm looking at baseball here, and the Giants put out a report that they're going to allow fans to possibly input their photos or send their photos in, cutouts of their photos, to fill the seats at Oracle Park. Giants fans to put fan cutouts in seats. Me personally, I think it's corny. What about you guys?
Wow.
Go ahead, Goo.
I'm excited, I'm like, man. It's not like they did this by design. I just like the E for effort. And you know I'm a big analogy guy. Happy Payday Friday, fellas. It's like a DJ.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
You don't even need the physical DJ anymore at the party. You just put on Pandora, whatever. You still get the music, Steiny. So it's about the game on the field.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.